Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
We're beginning to reach out more into our respective towns and communities wherever we live. But particularly God has been speaking to us about Love Horsham and just the heart and the vision that we have for the town, as well as other towns in the 25-mile radius. But God has been speaking to us about Love Horsham, and as part of that, we're having quite an emphasis on the north part of Horsham this year, and particularly the Roffey and South Homes kind of area, but the north part of Horsham. And there's a number of things we're going to be that are already happening, but they're going to increase an amount of things that we're doing in this part of the town, the north part. And we've got a number of things happening on a monthly basis. We've got things happening through life groups. There's all kinds of things going on. We've got a particular week of outreach in the middle of May where we're not just doing one-off things, but we're just doing on a whole bigger scale what we're doing week in, week out, to build relationships, to really see a community transform in this part of the town. So we're going to be looking at that more and more over the next few weeks. But as we do that, you know, we're going to be going out more with the gospel. And how many of you know the gospel is more than just words? There are many words out there in society at the moment, many belief systems, many philosophies, many ways of looking at things, many words to try and convince people of the right way of living or people's lifestyle or whatever they're into. But how many of you know that when the kingdom of God comes, it comes with more than just words, it comes with power. You know, the Christian faith is the only faith on the planet that can change lives. The gospel that we find in this book here, the Bible, is the only gospel. It's the only words that can really set people free and bring people into the destiny, into the purpose that God has for them. This word that we know, this Jesus that we know, he's alive. This word is living and active. When you speak the word comes out with life. It comes out, it creates things. It does things because it's alive. You can't speak the word and nothing happens, you know. When you speak the word and there's faith with it, something comes, God's life comes with that word to change circumstances, to change the history of somebody's life, to redirect it, and that history then is changed from what it has been, and then it is set on a new course to become what God has determined it to be for that person's life. And so we're life givers in this place today. How many of you are life givers? Just turn to somebody next to them and say, you are a life giver. Whether they look like it or not, just tell them. Encourage them with who they are. Okay, let's have a look at Mark chapter 1, verse 15. We're just going to do a kind of very quick overview of the Bible in terms of the gospel, God's purpose, in about 20 minutes. Is that all right? And also, it's not going to be that thorough, that deep, but it's going to be because it's the end point that we want to get to. But it's important to go through some of the scriptures that we're going to look through on the way. OK, so this is when Jesus first began his ministry, and he first began to preach and teach. And he says to him in verse 15, the time has come. This is Jesus speaking. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. So when Jesus comes, he says, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is near, okay, or is at hand. And so he's come with a message into a very religious culture in one sense, or the Jews are very religious. The society they lived in was also quite secular with the Romans. But Jesus came and he said to them, the kingdom of heaven is near, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, or the kingdom of God is it near or is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. So he didn't just come with a message of repentance, he came with a message of the kingdom. So in order to come into that kingdom, there needs to be repentance. Repentance is the doorway into the kingdom of heaven. The repentance is the doorway into a relationship with Jesus Christ, okay? And so he came with this message, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right here. It's not far off anymore. The kingdom of heaven is available for you right now. Now that was a mind bender in that culture. Okay, because the religious leaders of the day had laid everything out according to the law, saying if you've got to fulfill this, 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 and this, and this to attain godliness, Jesus turns up and says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, repent and believe, and it's yours. And So Jesus comes with a message. I want to give you something. You can come into something. There's something I want to give you, something I want you to be part of, something that I want you to be a participator of. If you're going to be part of a kingdom, the kingdom has a king. It has somebody who is ruling in that kingdom. So he basically was saying, I'm coming with a kingdom. I want you to be part of this thing because I want you to rule and reign with me as part of this kingdom. So he didn't just come with, you're a sinner, you're a mess, you need to repent and get yourself sorted out. Then you can know me. He said, I'm coming with a kingdom and I want you to be part of it. In order to be part of this kingdom, you need to repent and believe and you step into this kingdom because I want you to share in who I am and what I've inherited from my Father and you can be part of it. Now for them, it was a radical message, okay? But as we're reaching out more and more, we need to understand, well, what is the message of the gospel? What is the message of the kingdom? Because the gospel is the gospel of the kingdom. So what is this kingdom message that we are going with? Because this message is life transforming. So he comes and he says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. Just turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Let's have a look at verse 26 onwards. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves along the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw that what he had made, and it was very good. Just turn to the person next to you. You're looking very good this morning. Because you're created in his image. Okay, just encourage him. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. Just turn to somebody next to you, look at them and say, you are a vast array of God's goodness. Okay, so right at the beginning here in Genesis, we see that God's intention was to create man in his image, but you see God's heart right at the beginning was to give. And so he said, he created us in his image, but then he blessed them and he said, be fruitful. He said, increase, fill, subdue, rule over. Everything I've created, everything that where I've placed you, I give it to you. So that's the heart of God right at the beginning of creation. God's nature is to give. Out there, most people's concept of God is he wants to take something. Many believers often think, you know, he wants to take something, first of all. But actually, the gospel is about God giving. In order to receive, yes, he wants to take something away so that we can receive. But he comes with a message because his nature is to give. And so right at the beginning here, he sets Adam and Eve in place or mankind in place. But his purpose is to increase, is to rule, is to fill, is to multiply. Because he says, I want to give. I want you to be flourishing. I want you to be fruitful. I want you to express my nature on planet Earth. And so this gospel of the kingdom is about us expressing the life and the nature of God on the earth. The goodness of God on the earth. So we don't come with a negative message. We come with good news. The gospel is good news. So we come with a message that Jesus is a God that wants to give to people's lives. Not a message of you're a sinner, first of all, you need to repent. But first of all, saying God is a good God. He's coming with a great kingdom and he wants you to be part of a kingdom. So he wants to give himself to you. That's why it's good news. That's why there's hope in the gospel. Okay. Let's just turn to Romans chapter 3. So just bear that in mind. God's nature is to give. And we come with a message of the kingdom, which is to give. Okay. Romans 3, verse 21. Now, when you look through the Old Testament, there's a whole series of people that represent different aspects of God trying to speak to Israel and God's people, from prophets to judges to kings to priests, many different people that God put in place to bring the word of the Lord or to bring the direction to the people. And obviously the law was given, written down very specifically, every I dotted, every T crossed. God was very meticulous about the way he wanted them to live, what the law was all about. And these different people, prophets, judges, kings, priests, were God's people to, at the time, in different parts of Israel's history, to help the people walk with God. And we know that the history of Israel was pretty much up and down. For a season, they'd walk with God. Then they'd turn their back on God and nations would overtake them and they'd be scattered. And then God would regroup them and they would, because they repented and wanted to follow God. And then the whole cycle would happen again. But in God's wisdom, he knew that something had to happen because he knew that in man's own effort, they couldn't fulfill the law. They couldn't reach what God was setting out. And God is a righteous God and he wants a righteous people. But in and of ourselves, we can't live that righteous life. And so that's why ultimately, as we're going to see in a minute, why Jesus came. But let's have a look at Romans chapter 3. Jesus is talking about a righteousness just before this that can't be attained just by observing the law. So then he says, but now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. What did Jesus say? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe. Okay, and so in order to receive this kingdom, there's got to be repentance, but there has to be faith. Okay, but what does the word say here? This righteousness, verse 22, from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Now, there's a way of salvation here. I don't know, some people use certain verses, don't they, to present the gospel. And this is one of the most famous ones, Romans 3, 23, where it says here, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, in our own efforts, we've all fallen short. We can't reach God. We can't attain righteousness. We can't attain godliness. And so the word says here, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Let's just flick over to Romans 6, verse 23. But there's hope. It says here, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, God knows that man can't attain godliness, can't reach God in his own efforts, that we've all fallen short of God's glory, okay? But then he makes a way because he understands, God knows that the wages of sin are death. They cut you off from a relationship with God. They cut you off from destiny with God. But then God does something and he says, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, link this with God being the creator. His nature is to give. Therefore, we have a gospel that is about giving. we have a God who doesn't want to leave people separated from Him. We have a God that wants to reconcile man with Him. And God understands that we can't reach Him in our own efforts, that we've fallen short of His glory, but then He makes a way, not through us having to produce our own righteousness, but He comes with a righteousness of His own in Christ, and Christ sacrifices Himself on the cross and becomes the gift of salvation. That in order for us to receive that gift of salvation, we simply just have to come and acknowledge who He is, what He did on the cross, and we simply then have to just come and repent and believe the good news and step into this kingdom that is at hand. This is why the kingdom we have is such good news for the world out there. Because our message isn't you have to try and be godly. You have to try and reach and attain some form of godliness. Every other religion, every other faith out there says that you must do something first in order to be acceptable to God. In terms of your own effort. If you do this, this and this, then you might have access to whatever God they believe in. But it's interesting how Christian faith is the only faith that talks about relationship with God, which has sonship in it. And so Jesus came, sacrificed Himself on the cross and became the bridge or whatever between us and between God, sacrificing Himself, becoming the gift of salvation for you and me, the gift of salvation for every person out there. Why are we looking at this morning? Because we know a lot of this stuff. It's important that we really understand what is the gospel, okay? Because it's only the gospel that saves. It's not our version of the gospel. It's not our interpretation. It's not even us trying to put some spin on it to make it acceptable to people to believe. There's only one gospel, and the Holy Spirit works with the gospel. The Holy Spirit works with the Word. The Holy Spirit doesn't work with a version of the Word. He works with the Word. Spirit and Word together, okay? So we see that everybody's fallen short of God's glory, but we see that the penalty for that is the wages of sin is death, it's separation from God. But Jesus has done something, He's become the gift of salvation. For the gift of God is eternal life in Christ, okay? Let's just turn now to 1 John 1, verse 9. Well, you probably all know that off by heart. But 1 John 1, 9 says what? If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins, and He cleanses us from all unrighteousness, okay? That's the doorway into this kingdom. This is the doorway into relationship with God, okay? So on one level, every person before they're saved is outside of this kingdom. Every person falls short of God's glory. We're never going to make it. But that gap, falling short, Jesus came and filled that gap through the cross, connecting man with God. Then it becomes possible for man to cross over from death to life. How many of you cross over from death to life? In order to cross from death to life, it takes two things. One is to repent and one is to believe. When you repent, you turn around from living your life your way, and you turn and you recognize what the cross is all about. So if you have Jesus on the cross and we're here and He's the bridge connecting us into eternal life, into relationship with God. We were over here walking this way. The cross was already accomplished 2,000 years ago. We're walking this way. We hear the message, the good news. The Holy Spirit convicts us, deep conviction. There's repentance, which is turning around. Right. Repentance on its own doesn't get you into the kingdom. Repentance turns you around. It cuts you off from the destiny you were walking in, and it repositions you now for a destiny that God has for you. And so you repent, you turn around, but then in order to cross over from death to life, you then believe. Repentance on its own leaves you here facing the right direction, but faith enables you then to walk across from death into life, believing that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that He takes out your old heart. He doesn't just do a refresher on your heart. He takes the old one out, so as you repent, and you turn around, there's a changing of hearts. then you confess with your mouth. You believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that and you will be saved. And you then cross from death to life. You come into this kingdom. From that moment on, your destiny changed. The person who writes your history from that moment changes. When you were walking this way, you were writing your own history and the devil was laughing all the way to hell. But now once there's that repentance and faith and you've stepped into the kingdom of God, now God is writing the history of your life if you walk with him. Just chuck that one in. Okay, let's have a look. What does it say in John 5:24? I don't know if you're writing some of these things down, but John 5:24 is a brilliant verse. Okay, we're going to get to what the whole message is about in a minute, okay? This is just all the preamble. Is that all right? Just turn to the person and say, preamble. We're going to get there in a minute. Verse 24, John 5. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him, believes in the Father, this is Jesus speaking, whoever hears my word and then believes in him, the Father, the one who sent me, has eternal life. Look at that, past tense, has eternal life. So if there's been that repentance, 1 John 1:9, you've turned around, but then Jesus says in verse 24 here, I tell you the truth, whoever then hears my word, believes in the one who sent me, he says then has eternal life. When you step into the kingdom, you step into eternal life. That's why death, you don't have to be afraid of dying physically. If you're born again here, if you know Jesus, if you've stepped into this relationship with God, the Bible talks about death has lost its sting. Death has lost its hold over your life. Because when you were, this is if you point to salvation, this lovely thing here. So when you were in your old life doing your own thing, death was pretty serious. Because you were already separated from God and you were going to be eternally separated from God. But when you crossed over from death to life, you stepped into eternal life. That's why the death has lost its sting, because you are already living in eternity now, because you have eternal life in you. I don't know if anybody's afraid of death here this morning, but if you are, God wants to deal with that this morning and give you a fresh revelation of the eternal life that you have. Therefore, there's nothing to be afraid of. Your physical body might die, but in your spirit is already living forever. Your soul, if you like, because it's been saved, it already has eternal life all over it, because your soul is going to live forever. But knowing that you've already got eternal life, you can rejoice, you can enjoy every day of your life. And in one sense, that's why Jesus said, don't be worried about tomorrow. Today has enough of its own, because you already have eternal life. There's nothing to be afraid of. The people out there need to know what we have. Okay, because they need it as well. Let's just read a bit more in this verse. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. That is fantastic. Over here, you're just living in condemnation, separation from God. You got no chance. But once you've repented and believed and you stepped into the kingdom, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So condemnation has been separated from you because it belongs over there. Condemnation doesn't belong over here. There's no condemnation in Christ. So when you step from death to life, you step from outside of Christ and you stepped into Christ, and there's no condemnation here. The enemy has no hold. You got the shield of faith. You got the sword of the spirit. The devil wants to come and tell you a load of rubbish and you just hold it up and say, well, there's no condemnation here. That's over there in my old life. I'm free from it. And so you have this new life in Christ. Let's have a look a bit more. He has crossed over from death to life. Okay. Now let's just look at 2 Corinthians 5 for a minute. Okay. We're just blasting through a few scriptures. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 to 21. Let's have a look at this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. All this is from God. It's a gift. All of this is from God. Your salvation is a total free gift. That's awesome, isn't it? Okay, let's just carry on for a moment. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. Listen to this next one. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. This is awesome, the next couple of verses. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. That is an awesome verse. What does that mean? What it means is God came himself in Christ, the Word made flesh, okay? So Jesus came in human form, but he didn't stay for the rest of mankind, for the rest of planet Earth. After 33 and a half years or so, he then went up to heaven and he said, look, guys, you need to wait for the gift. This gift that I'm going to send you from the Father's going to give you, is going to enable you to do all the things I was doing, but greater things still. In order for my Father's will to be outworked on the earth, you're going to have to receive this gift. And every generation from this time on is also going to receive this gift to outwork God's, my Father's kingdom purposes on the earth. Think about what the Father's got, what's going on here. I'm not just going to leave Jesus on earth for the rest of the history of mankind, because Jesus could have done. He'd never sinned. So if he'd never sinned, he was never going to die. That's pretty awesome. Think about it. But the Father, in his wisdom, he didn't say we need to leave Jesus on the earth. What I want to do, I want to work my purposes out through man that I've created. And God's purpose is to restore that relationship that he destined right at the beginning in Genesis and said, I'm going to restore that relationship, that which I've created, and I'm not just going to now walk with man in the garden, I'm going to put myself in him. Because I want to work my purposes out through him on the earth. This is awesome. This is just the gospel on one level, but I just believe God wants to get a fresh understanding of the power and the purpose of God that we have inside of us today, the gospel of the kingdom that God wants to release through our lives, through you and me. Just turn to somebody else and say, look happy even if you're not. So what does this mean? It says here that we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. So God, in his action, he says, I'm going to appeal to mankind through you. Not just through Christ, but through Christ in you, but through you. So Jesus is going to come up and sit at my right hand and everything, but I'm going to send you my spirit because what it's going to be, I'm going to work through you as if I am there myself. But I'm putting my spirit in you so that you're my ambassadors, you're my representatives, you're my mouthpiece, you're my outstretched hand, you're my whatever, connection to other people. So I'm making my appeal to mankind through you now because I place my spirit in you. I put my kingdom life in you. I put my word inside of you so you carry my kingdom life. My kingdom is not over there or over here. The kingdom is within you. So therefore you have this kingdom life within you that connects people outside of the kingdom and brings them into this kingdom, okay? This ministry of reconciliation. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him, listen to this, we might become the righteousness of God. Now we know that our righteousness is Christ. Christ in us, he is our righteousness. In and of ourselves, we are not righteous. That's why Jesus lives in us, because he is our righteousness. But that's why the word says here, and that's why the writer here can say, God made it, him who had no sin to be sin, that's Jesus, for us, so that in Christ we might become the righteousness of God on the earth. Maybe I just had a good time on my own preparing for this one. I don't know. But it was just that understanding of we are God's righteousness on the earth. Now, that doesn't mean that we are self-righteous. It doesn't mean we come with an attitude. It means we're humble and all of that side of things. But what God wants us to understand this morning is the church, God's people, are his righteousness on the earth. And he's wanting to come back for a holy bride. Let's just have a look at what's time. Oh, okay. Let's have a look at John 1, 12 and 13. Okay, we're going to have communion this morning as well. So, John 1, 12 and 13. To all who received him, how many of you have received him? To those who believed in his name, he gave the right. What a great verse. He gave the right to become children of God. Okay? Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. That means nobody here is by accident. Whether you know God here today or not, you're not on planet Earth by accident. God knows who you are. You might not know him at this point, but he knows who you are. And he wants you to be born of him. Okay? So we're called to be children. Just turn to Romans 8. This will all come together in a minute, hopefully. Romans 8, verse 12. So look, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. That's the old life. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. You'll be separated from God. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you do not receive a spirit that makes you a slave to fear, again to fear, but you receive the spirit of sonship. That's awesome. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. Now there, it doesn't just mean daddy. What it means is we can. There's an intimacy with God. So when the word says, and by him we cry, Abba, Father, what it means is Jesus has made it the way totally open for us to come right into an intimate relationship with him and with the Father, with the Holy Spirit, with God. So it's not just, we can be familiar with God and say, daddy, 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 and treat him like, you know, act like we're three-year-olds. What it's actually, Abba Father's talking about an intimacy, a closeness, a oneness, an access with the Father. That it's not just, well, you're the Father, you know, but actually there's an intimacy, an embracing, a oneness. That's what that is talking about there, okay? And so by him we cry, Abba Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Man, there's loads in the word this morning. Jesus comes along and he says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay. So Jesus steps into here where people don't know him. And he says, there's a kingdom. It's right at hand and it can be yours. In order to come into it, repent and believe the good news. You can step into this and you not only get forgiven, you not only have the slate wiped clean, but as part of the deal, you become a child of God, you become a son of God, you then become a co-heir with Christ, and you receive the full inheritance of everything that this kingdom is, that my Father has. So you not only just come out of darkness and you just about get in on the edge of things, but my Father's heart is to give you so much that you become a child, you become a son, you become a co-heir, that you receive the fullness of everything that this kingdom is yours. Amen. This is the nature and the heart of who God is. Man, we are co-heirs with Christ. That means everything that he is ours. Come on. This is cool. Okay, now just Revelation, because we need to this is just to wrap it up. Revelation. So we had Genesis 1, now we're going to go to the last couple of chapters of the Bible. So what we've talked about? We've talked about God's salvation purposes very, very briefly through the Word, okay? God created us in his image. His intent is to have intimate relationship. We blew it, but God had a plan already for salvation. Man couldn't fulfill the law in his own efforts, so Jesus came to fulfill the law. He became God's righteousness in us because we don't have a righteousness of our own. As part of coming into that righteousness of God, it means we become sons of, we become children of God, sons of God, co-heirs with Christ. Pretty awesome in terms of what God has done. Let's just have a look at this. Revelation 19, verse... What did I say to you? Revelation 19, verse 6. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder shouting. How many of you like shouting? Some of you. Right, well, there's a lot of shouting going on in heaven. Anyway, he heard like loud peals of thunder shouting, "Hallelujah! For the Lord God Almighty reigns." So this was shouted. It wasn't just, "Hallelujah! For the Lord God Almighty reigns." This was, "Hallelujah! For the Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands..." Sorry, I won't shout this bit. "Fine linen stands for the righteousness at..." Righteousness. That's a good bit, isn't it? Get carried away there. "Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints." This is interesting. This is this. Where are we? "Then the angel said to me, 'Write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb.'" Now, what did God say right at the beginning when he created Adam and Eve? Created man. Let's have a look. Verse 28. What does it say? God bless them. This is what it says right at the end of Revelation. "The angel of the Lord said to me, 'Write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb.'" At the beginning in Genesis, God creates man in his image and he says to them, "I want you to walk with me, I want you to know me." He blesses them and wants them to increase and be fruitful. While they're walking with him, they are blessed. What does it say in Revelation here? Because what he's talking about here is Jesus is coming back for a bride. That's us lot. But he's not coming for one with loads of spots and wrinkles. He's coming back for a pure bride. He's coming back for a righteous bride. He's coming back for a holy bride. He's coming back for a people that want to walk with God and see his purposes outworked on the earth. He's talking about a wedding feast with the Lamb, with Jesus. And he says here, "Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." Now, who are the ones who are blessed? Now, it's interesting here. We're just going to flick into something for a second. It says here, "Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints." Who are the ones that are blessed? The ones that are blessed are the ones who live in obedience to the purposes of God. So salvation is a gift. So we come and inherit the fullness of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. But when we're part of this kingdom, there's things that God has called us to then obey, things to do. Salvation is a gift, but there's a walk with God that requires an obedience of faith. In Romans, first two or three chapters of Romans, there's a lot about God's righteousness. And I think it's in chapter 2, verse 13, I think it is. It talks about, I better read it to you actually. Romans 2, verse 13. Says here, "For it's not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it's those who obey the law who will be declared righteous." Okay, and it talks in that whole context, it talks about not having a righteousness of our own, it talks about God's righteousness. But what he talks about here is it's those who obey that will be declared righteous. Now, God has set us up, brought us into this kingdom, given us the fullness of life. You're forgiven. I mean, if you sin, you need to repent and get right with God. I'm not saying once you've repented, that's it, you never have to repent again. What we're talking about in terms of that initial salvation, repentance for salvation, to come into relationship with God, in that process, you're forgiven. You're cut off from everything that separated you from God. You become a child of God. You become a son of God. You become an heir, co-heir with Christ. But then there's work to do. How do we know that? 2 Corinthians 5, the ministry of reconciliation. We're here as God's ambassadors, as though he were making his appeal through us. So when we come to Revelation here, verse 19, chapter 19, it talks about this wedding feast with the Lamb. But it talks about those who, the ones who are blessed are going to be the ones who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Who are the ones that are blessed? The ones who are walking in righteousness, who are walking in obedience. So what's he coming back for? He's coming back for a bride. He's coming back for a holy people. He's coming back for a righteous people. What are we doing on the earth? What we're here for is to prepare the bride for the return of Jesus. Our focus isn't just to try and get a few people saved. Our focus isn't just get people saved, get people saved, get people saved. Hallelujah, we got some people saved. When do we go to heaven? The way God looks at it is, I'm sending Jesus back for a bride. Who is the bride of Christ? Those who are living with the righteousness of Christ, seeking to live an obedient life, to walk with him, but understanding that it's all about preparing a bride for Jesus to come back to. So it's not just about seeing a few people saved, and a few, oh, we saw 20 people saved this week or over the last month or all of that kind of thing. If we understand that Jesus is coming back for a bride, and what we're doing is preparing that bride, that's why, well, Jesus could come back today. I know you say, well, there's a few prophecies that haven't been fulfilled and all of that. Depends how you look at certain things in the Bible, but he could turn up today. So Jesus is saying, live like you're ready, because if I turn up today, is the bride ready? So there's an emphasis on us living holy, living righteous, walking righteous. So what's the purpose of seeing people saved? Because we want them to come and be part of this bride, preparing a bride. We want as many people to be part of this bride as possible. So it's not just about how many can we grow the church and can we have better this, better that and get more people in. It's all about preparing the bride that Jesus is coming back for. Spotless, not wrinkled bride. Let's just look at one last verse. Just turn over to Revelation 22. Verse 12, then we're going to have communion because time's ticking away. This is Jesus speaking. Behold, I'm coming soon. Now, he said this a couple of thousand years ago. So soon is, you know, what is soon? My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone, listen to this, according to what he has. Ooh, here's the at the end. Salvation is a gift, but there's things that God wants us to do. My reward is with me, so he's going to come with rewards, all right? And I will give to everyone according to what he has done with what I have given. I am the Alpha, I'm the beginning, I'm the Omega, I'm the end, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Let's all stand up, shall we? If we could have the communion service, if we have the band up, that'd be great as well. Just close your eyes a minute. Let's just kind of focus on the Lord. Just close your eyes. There's some work to be done. Firstly, let's just quickly zip through what we've just said. Just close your eyes and as we just go through it, just thank him. for the next few minutes. Once you were over here, separated from God, no hope, no destiny. You might have thought you had things going for you, but in terms of how God sees things, we were outside of hope, destiny, purpose. One day, you heard the message, maybe over a period of time, but there was a day that came where you responded, you repented, you turned around, you believed in your heart, you confessed with your mouth, and you crossed over from death to life. You stepped into God's kingdom life. At that moment, you left behind everything that separated you from God, and you stepped into a relationship with Him. At that moment, you stepped into destiny. At that moment, you stepped into purpose. At that moment, you stepped into the beginning of the call of God on your life, which the initial call on every person's life is to know Jesus. That is the call on our lives, to know Jesus and to walk with Him. Then He has things for us to do as part of that call. But when you stepped into that relationship, you became a child of God. Then it says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So therefore, there's a walking out of sonship. There's a walking in sonship here, led by the Spirit. But as part of our inheritance, we become heirs, we become co-heirs with Christ of this awesome kingdom. But then also, as part of this kingdom, we become ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. So you're an ambassador here this morning. Somebody who has been given the right to be an ambassador. Ambassadors have access into situations. They can go round customs. They don't have to show their passports. They're ambassadors. They have special access where others don't have that access. As an ambassador of Christ, you have access to the throne room of God. That when you don't know Christ, you haven't got the passport to get in. Your passport won't get you in. But when you know Jesus, there's an access into the throne room. When you're an ambassador, you have access in prayer. You have an access because of the favor of God. God can open up doors that no man can shut. You have the favor of God upon your life. This is all to do with walking with God. This is awesome. What, who you are in Christ, who we are in Him, who He is in us. Therefore, there's an access to break through enemy lines, to push through in prayer. Where there's opposition, where there, we need to see other people's lives change or things happen in a situation. Because we're sons of God, we have special access to break through, to overcome, to deal with the enemy, to see lives change and transform. Because we're not dealing with flesh and blood, we're dealing with spiritual things. And because we have the Spirit of God in us, because we know God, then we're ambassadors. We have favor. There's access into things in God today. Thank you, Jesus. Just thank Him that where He's placed you right now. Thank Him that He's separated you from your past. Thank Him that He has set you in His kingdom. Thank Him right now that you, I don't know about you, but I want to be Revelation 19 and Revelation 22 there. I want to be one of those people that God says, blessed are those that are invited to the supper, the feast with the Lamb. With Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice, the one whose blood was shed. Thank you, Jesus. We're just going to share communion together right now. On the night He was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and He broke it. And He said to the disciples, He said, this is My body that is given for you. Then He took the cup and He said, this is My blood of the new covenant that was shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Wow. The blood was shed for the forgiveness of sins. It was to set a new covenant in place. The old covenant was based on people coming and sacrificing an animal to be forgiven. The new covenant was once and for all. Jesus shed His blood on the cross. So that we wouldn't have to come with a sacrifice because He became our sacrifice. We could just come with as ourselves and say, forgive me, I repent, I want to turn around. And Your blood cleanses. His blood then washes us, makes us clean. And then we step into this kingdom, this relationship with God. having been made clean, having been made right with him. And he said, this blood was shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Every time you drink it, remember me, or do this in remembrance of me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just take a moment. Firstly, let's just ask the Lord to forgive us if at times we live in our heads or live in our lives like we're over here still, trying to attain some form of godliness, trying to be something in God rather than just saying, Jesus, I thank you that you are my righteousness. Thank you that you are my holiness. Thank you that you have made me worthy in you. It's not a performance God has called us to. It's the gift of salvation. Just thank him that he set you free from the power of sin. Thank him that unrighteousness is now not who you are. Thank you, Jesus. There's two parts of today. One is the gift of salvation. The other one is the ministry of reconciliation. And understanding that we're the bride of Christ, that we're here to prepare, like Jesus is coming back today. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just begin to share the bread and the wine together this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just as you're taking, as you eat the bread this morning and as you drink the wine this morning or the juice, just thank him for a fresh anointing upon your life today. Just thank, the presence of God's here this morning. Just thank him for a fresh anointing upon you today. The ministry of reconciliation. Christ's ambassadors, as though he were making his appeal through us. The Bible starts with Genesis. Created man in his image, relationship, intimacy, oneness, unity, right walking with God. It ends with the same thing. He says at the beginning, I give you this. Be blessed, increase, fill, subdue, rule. At the end, he talks about those being blessed who are invited to the supper of the Lamb. What is that? That's coming into the full inheritance, to rule and to reign. Because why? God's nature is to give. All the way God gives. All the way God gives. All the time God gives. God wants increase. Wants you to fill, wants you to rule, wants you to reign, wants you to have victory, wants you to overcome, wants you to subdue the enemy so that you're not living in defeat. He's called you to multiply, to be fruitful, to increase in every way, in your own life, in your marriage, in your family, if you have a family, in your household, in your friendships, in relationships, in the workplace, in every setting of life. He says, be blessed, be increased, be fruitful. But it's not just for our own gains, it's about affecting other people's lives. That's what the increase is about. When he said to Adam and Eve, increase, he didn't just mean become bigger in yourselves. He said multiply, you're going to have many children. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. If you, this morning, if you do have any fear of death, this morning, as you eat the bread and take the wine this morning, I want you just to thank him right now. You know, all fear ultimately begins with a fear of death. Death has lost its sting. If you know Jesus today, death has no hold over your life. Death has lost its sting. If you know there's any fear there, first of all, just repent and say, Father, I ask you that I forgive me that I fear. something here and I don't trust you. My faith isn't in you. So I just cut this fear off this morning, right now. Fear of death, you have no hold on me. You've lost your sting because I'm not over here anymore. I'm now over here. I'm in Christ. And because I'm in Christ, I have his eternal life. Therefore, death has no hold over me because it's been broken. I've now got eternal life. So yes, my body might die, but I'm already alive in Christ. So therefore, I'm already living eternally already. So just be free right now. Be set free from any fear of death, any physical death. Be free right now. There's others that there's thoughts sometimes of certain sicknesses. You need to just cut that off right now in Jesus' name. We just cut off any fear of cancer. We cut off any fears of hereditary stuff. You know, when you got born again, you were cut off from all of that hereditary stuff because that represents something in the natural, and you've been cut off from whatever that was in the natural, and you're now living in the supernatural life of Christ because you've got Christ in you. You've got another inheritance now, and it's a good one, and it's a co-heir with Christ, ruling with him. So we just cut off right now every lie that says you're going to get ill, you're going to get this, you're going to get that. We just cut that off right now. Any fear of that, we say that's the end today in Jesus' name. And we just release you into freedom and the fullness of life. Death has no sting. Death has been dealt with. Sickness has no hold over your life. It carries no fear because that's part of the old. And the old has gone and the new has come. You're now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There are people that need this week a word of life through you. There's people this week that you're the hand of God into their life this week. There are people this week that you're the mouthpiece of God. You're the hand of God. You're the compassion of God. You're the grace of God. You're the mercy of God. You're the heart of God this week into people's lives. Why? Because we're the bride of Christ, and he's coming back for a spotless, pure bride. And we want to gather as many people to be part of this bride and prepare them and get them ready for the return, the coming of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There are people in North Horsham over these next few months. They're going to come into their destiny in God. There are people all over Horsham that are going to come into their destiny in God. There are people all over this 25-mile radius that are going to come into their destiny in God. But our lives are not our own. They've been bought with a price. They're not ours to do what we want with any longer, because we've been bought with a price. Jesus has paid that redemption, that price that has taken us out of captivity and brought us into freedom, into life. And so we're his. He owns us. We belong to him. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that ownership by you is not control like it is in the natural. Ownership by you and we belong to you is freedom in you. It's the fullness of life in you. Father, we thank you. We praise your awesome name. Come on, let's just raise our hands, shall we? Let's just worship him. Just lift your voice now and give him adoration. Give him praise. Thank him that death has lost its hold. Sickness has no hold. The old life has no hold. His history is gone. You've got a new life in him now. But there's many, many, many others that want it, that need to receive that new life, and you have it because you're an ambassador.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.